Okay. The past few weeks, as an introduction to the Orchis Tzadikim, we're discussing a little bit about the life of Rabbi Yaakov Emden as being one of those who quotes the Orchis Tzadikim in his sefer called Migdal Oiz regarding the union of the Zechira, regarding the union of remembering, the importance of remembering, what the Yid is supposed to remember, and so on and so forth. We also pointed out that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in addition to being a big Baal Mechaber in areas of Halacha, many Svarim in the areas of Halacha, was a very strong opinionated person and a very fierce opponent of anyone who would stand in the way that he believed would be against Halacha, and those that who would threaten the authentic Jewish tradition and so on, and anybody who threatened to be in the way, and it doesn't make a difference how great a person's stature or reputation of that person was, that would not stop him from voicing his opinion and going out all out, publicly speaking against that person and writing about him. Regarding his own personal life, he also was very, mentioned, honest to the point that one would say he was brutally honest regarding situations, and he wrote a sefer called Megillah Sefer, where there is basically an autobiography about his life's experiences, his experiences, his relationship with his father, and so on and so forth, was with the Chacham Tzvi, certainly a well-known God Lador in his own right. As a matter of fact, you know, the Divrei Chaim of Sons needs no introduction. The Divrei Chaim of Sons, of course, one of the greatest rabbis of all time, himself a big Goyan as well. And the Divrei Chaim of Sons had it written on the Matzeva as being also descendants of, or it used to talk all about being a descendant of the Chacham Tzvi, which considered that to be a great yichus, and the Chacham Tzvi was the father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, one of the svarim that he wrote was called She'ilas Yaivitz, which was questions that were addressed to him. He would sign off Yaivitz would be Yaakov Ben Tzvi. That's Rosh HaTevis of the word Yaivitz. And the Chacham Tzvi, of course, his name was Tzvi, with many times signed Tzvi, with quotations, Tzvi meaning Tzvi Ben Yaakov, Tzadik Beis Yud, Tzvi Ben Yaakov. So he was Yaakov Ben Tzvi, and the Chacham Tzvi was Tzvi Ben Yaakov. So he writes very interesting, just to give you just a few lines. He says the reason that he chose to call the name of the Sefer, She'ilas Yaivitz, that's why he was really known as Yaivitz. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is known with the name of Yaivitz. So he writes, he says, the name of my Sefer, he says, She'ilas Yaivitz means questions that are addressed to Yaivitz, and I called myself Yaivitz. Of course, there's a good Rosh HaTevis, but why did he decide to use that configuration, the name Yaivitz? So he says, because there's a posting in the Vayomim that says that, where's the name Yaivitz? It's found in Nach, it's found in Divrei Yom in Chronicles. It's found that the mother of Asniel ben Kenaz, that the mother of Asniel Kenaz called him Yaivitz. Why did she call him Yaivitz? Because to convey that she gave birth in pain. She called him Yaivitz to convey that she gave birth in pain. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, so too I, he writes, I was tormented and grieved, he said, born to my father and mother in great travail, he says. Now, his birth was not a simple birth, and caused his mother and father, he says, great travail. And he writes in quotations, as I was told, because he, when he was a baby, he didn't know that. He said, as I was told. And he writes, he says, for my revered father, he says, was stricken, now this is an amazing thing, was stricken, he says, with melancholia, and he says, and fell into a deep depression, almost to the point that human physicians despaired of his recovery. Chacham Tzvi would know that. You know, people go through things. A great God will be soiled. I mean, one of the greatest. He writes that he went through that period. He says that depression and so on, that a human physician despaired of his recovery. He says, only the Rachmi Shemaim, the mercy of heaven, he says, restored him to his strength and health. He says, however, he says, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, look at the honesty, he says, however, seems that this made somewhat of an impression, he says, on my development. The fact that his father underwent periods of depression, Yaakov says, it appeared that it had an effect on his own development. And he says, from my youth, he says, I was weak from worry and grief. He was weak. He was worry, grief. My heart was dizzy, he says, and my strength left me because of my avarice, he writes to the side. And he said, my head was weak, and I was also prone to melancholia. In other words, he said, he also had bouts of this type of situation. And in fact, Lamaisa, the truth is that he really did have a lot of sorrows. It's interesting to say, because he remarried three times because his wife died. 16 of his 20 children of three wives died. 16 of 20 children that he had by three wives died his lifetime. You can only imagine what that means. Then he also writes about some of the memories in his early childhood. He writes this in Megillah Sefer. He says that my parents were warriors. My parents were warriors, he says, and they fretted over me a great deal. And he writes, he says, I was reared on their knees as a pampered child, with happiness, great softness and yearning. And with it all, he says, my father hastened to bring me to school when I was 3 years old. Pushed him into learning already at the age of three. So that I, he said, by the fifth year after my birth, I had already completed studying the whole Masechta of Beitzah at the age of five. Young man, okay, this is how he writes. At the age of five, I've already completed, he says, by the fifth year after my birth, I'd already completed studying, he says, Masechta of Beitzah. I was so diligent, he says, such a masmit. I was so diligent in my studies that my friends and peers followed behind me. He says, and by that time had not even reached they the ability even to daven, to read from the Seder. And I already had completed Masechta Beitzah. Can you imagine that? Make a scene. At the age of five. Afterwards, he says, however, he says, my father refrained from bringing my brothers. Notice, in spite of the fact they pushed me and they saw my success, but they didn't follow doing the same thing with his brothers, he said. They refrained from bringing my brothers who were born to me after, he says, to the Malama's house while they were such a tender age, because he said that he had weakened me thereby. In other words, by pushing me so young, maybe I accomplished a lot, right? Says academically, but it did not do me any favor regarding my health. Okay, this is just a little bit of some of the writings of Rav Yaakov Emden, again revealing a little bit about things of his life and how he grew up and regarding his parents and so on and so forth. There's much, much more, but there's no time to go into that. I'll just to conclude this little bit of segment with Yaakov Emden, just for now, I'll just mention another one of the controversial Piskei Dinim, which you mentioned from time to time regarding Yaakov Emden. And again, as I said, when he believed something, he said it, no matter how controversial it was, in any area. Again, to be a loichim, to be a fighter, to oppose others, and at the same time also, when he came to a conclusion of a certain halacha, no matter how unpopular it might be, and it might be something even that may be going against tradition, but if he felt that was right, he would say it. And here to give you an example, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and it's printed in the new Rabbi Yaakov Emden Sidurim, they have it, otherwise it was in a separate kuntres. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes as follows. He writes, when a woman gives birth and she goes to shul, he says, "B'yom she'alecha so'yledes l'beis kneses," the husband has a chiyuv to have an aliyah l'toyrin. In other words, a father who has a child should have the aliyah, but it should be really is when the mother is coming to shul. He says, in order that she should be able to hear how the husband, he says, "Baruch Hu Hashem Mavoyrach," and Mamele, this is all part of giving thanks to Hashem for being granted a child. So the woman should go to shul, he says. That's okay, fine. Nothing very spectacular so far. So, woman goes to shul after a birth. The time, he says, when the husband should have an aliyah. Kach nahagu, he says, avisenu hashkenazim. And that was the minig, he says, that going way back, he says, nashkenazi sheminig, he says, the woman who gave birth goes to shul, and the husband has an aliyah at that time. Then he goes on further, and he says as follows. Venira, it appears to me, okay, here now it comes on. It appears to me, it used to be, by the way, also common that the woman who gave birth, that they would have a minion in the house for a while. The house of the woman who gave birth. So you're right, now sometimes the minion happens to be just very exacting. It's not an overflowing minion. You have just like 10 people or so. So he writes as follows. Venira, the kishim ispalalim, the kairin asara, the tzimtzum, the base how you led this. The person Meir says, when there happens to be like 10 people in the shul, and for some reason the husband is not there at the minyan. The Ein Balokan. So he says, so you have a minyan in the house of the woman who gave birth. The husband isn't there. We spoke about the fact, he says, that what, that the woman should go to shul when the husband has an aliyah. Remember we mentioned that too. In the event that the minyan is in the woman's house and the husband is not there, Yom Kippur says the woman should have an aliyah. Now you can't tell that, probably, said anybody. Nearly he says, Yesh lahamid hadover al hadin. Because mikra hadin, because technically speaking, a woman would be allowed to have an aliyah. The reason that it's not done in our circles is because of kavod hatzibur, of having a woman coming into the men's section and taking part in the Torah. But he says, but in a private setting, he says, in such a situation where it's such an unlikely opportunity to ever happen, so he says, if not now, when then she can have an aliyah. So this is vintage Rabbi Yaakov Emden. This is a very fascinating thing. And kach dati noite, he says, this is my opinion. But here, at least this much, he says, im yaskimu imi chaverai, if my chaver. I don't think anybody agreed with it. But he says, but he did add that caveat here, because usually he doesn't care what anybody else says. He says what he has to say. But regarding this situation, so this would be my opinion. But he says, im yaskimu imi chaver, if my chaver would also be maskim. Okay, so this is Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Yisai. So let's go now and take a look at the Orchis Sadikim that we have, and we're going to be actually concluding the Shar HaBusha, the section that deals with Busha. Daf Lamed Vov, take a look, Daf Lamed Vov, like in the middle of the page you'll see Chosid. Chosid Nikra, Daf Lamed Vov. He says, who is really a Chosid? Or if you say, who is really a saint? Who can you call a chosid? Who do you call a saint? He says, chosid nikra al-shem ha-busha. A person who is called, is entitled to be called a chosid, is someone who has the mid of shame, who has the mid of busha. And he works it out. How does it fit into the generic terminology of the word chosid? He says, well, you know, he says, ki chosid is loshin lovon hu. Because chosid, basically, the real translation of the word chosid, if you trace it down to its root, it really means white. The literal meaning of the word chosid is white. Where do you get that from? You know that one of the birds, of the different birds that the Torah describes, is a bird called chasuda. Chasuda is a stork. That's how we translate it. The Targum, who tries to explain what the chasuda is, he says chivrusa, a white bird. The word chosid, chasuda, as chivrusa. So the Orchis Sadikim, take a look at the Targum. The Targum who translates ki targuma, he says shala chasuda or chasida. He says, who chivrusa? He's referring to the white one. And he says, also we find the word chivrusa, white, meaning v'chein, we find the posik in Yeshayo, the word chivrusa means white. It says, v'loy ato ponov, he says, yechavru. And his face will now not be white. In any case, we see here that the word chosid, says Yochas Sadikim, is a lotion of being white. And what the meaning of the Orchis Sadikim means to say is, you'll soon see, because a person who has mid of busha, his face turns white. When somebody becomes ashamed, when somebody becomes embarrassed, so what happens at first, you become red in the face, but then what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara says the redness of the face then disappears and the place of the red becomes white. So this is the procedure. Red and then white. So ultimately it ends up being very, very white because of the mid of busha. So the chosid who has the mid of busha, the chosid is for because of the mid of busha. The chosid is because of the mid of busha, because busha means chosid is lotion of white, and when somebody has the mid of busha, he basically takes on the character of white. And he goes on also to show that the targum shel cherpa, the targum of the word shame, is interesting enough, is chisuda. So you see how it goes together. Chisuda has something with shame, chisuda has something to do with white. So they go one goes together with the other. That means to say that she possessed the mid of busha, that in fact that would be a chosid. So the high level of the madrega, if someone who is a saint, someone who is a very high madrega, is someone really who has who has the mid of busha. And he goes on to explain why this is so, why is this so very important, that we say to be a chosid, it means he has the mid of busha. He says, because ki a chosid, because the true chosid is his sorech lizbol busha, he has to bear shame, kidei lekayim es ha-Torah, in order to be able to be mekayim the Torah, What it means to say is, because many, many times a person would be embarrassed to do the right thing because what his peers might say, it's an idea that we spoke about many, many times, and is expressed by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph, that al yevosh mipnei hamaligim olav, that a person should not be ashamed because other people may mock him. May mock him by seeing his practices, his ritual practice, and saying you're doing something which is so ancient in modern times today, this is something which doesn't have any room today. And yet the true believer, right, should be strong enough to oppose that. So he says, so therefore, even though people may shame him, people may embarrass him, but nevertheless, but he does what he believes is right, and that's why in order to be mekayim the Torah, in order to fulfill the Torah, he has to sometimes bear the so-called shame. He has to bear the so-called shame. And he goes on, V'tzorech lahavir me'alponav habushe b'mokeh mitzvah. A person must therefore wipe shame from his face when it comes to do a mitzvah. He has to understand that doing a mitzvah is the most important thing. The oz nikra chosid. And then it can be called a chosid. And he says, if a person does attain, once you attain that madrega, once you attain that level, that you're ready to bear shame for the sake of Torah, that will lead you even to a higher level. U'bazeh yagil l'nevuah. One is apt to be able even to reach the mid of prophecy. How do you know that? Because there's a posik. The posik says in Tehillim, Oz dibarto b'chozoin l'chasidecho. Chozoin is a terminology used for nevuah. Chazoin yishayo ben omos. The vision. And the posik in Tehillim says, Oz dibarto b'chazoin. You appear or you spoke in a vision to whom? L'chasidecho. To your saintly ones. L'chasidecho. You see the union of chazoin is connected to someone who is a chosid, which obviously means to say that someone, right, who reaches the madrega of a chosid has the ability to even go further, sometimes even to reach the madrega of nevuah. This would be like the prelude, even to becoming a novi, to be zeichet to have, right, to have divine messages come to him. Kedachsiv. And then he says further, v'yagia also b'boshtoy l'day yirashamayim. Busha also, of course, is something that's very necessary to bring a person for Yerushalayim. To have true fear of heaven, to have true Yerushalayim, is necessary to be accomplished, to have the trait of Busha. Kitav as the Pesuk says, Uba'avur, by Matan Torah, right, remember it started with all the koilus of Brokim, with all that noise, with all the frightening scene that was by Matan Torah. The idea was to inspire people, to put them in the fear and the awe of heaven. And the lotion is uba'avur tia yirosoy al penechem, that the fear of Hashem should be on your faces, lebilti sechato, because when you have the fear of Hashem, when you have Yerushalayim, lebilti sechato, you will not sin. So the Gemara Doran tells us, ezehu yira shehinikeres al aponim, the Pesuk says that the yira should be on your face. Uba'avur tia yirosoy al penechem. When do you have a situation where the fear can be read off your face? That's a person who has busha. When a person has busha, you can see it. You can see it in his face. You can recognize in his face that this person has busha. That is something which is apparent. Something which appears. So if the Pesuk says, Ba'avur tia yirosa al penechem, it means, busha. This is referring, in fact, to the midah of busha. So busha is very necessary for Yerushalayim. If we're talking about busha, then a person should be ready, right, to bear shame for the sake of Torah. And I might mention that in the time of Rabbi Chonon, Rabbi Chonon commissioned a particular person. The yeshiva was in dire need of funds, and was always the case that there was always financial problems. And so Rabbi Chonon therefore commissioned someone and asked him that maybe he goes around to try to collect some money for the yeshiva. This person was not an experienced person doing it. The Rosh Yeshiva nevertheless asked him to do it. However, he found it very difficult to be able to agree. And he said that one of the reasons he says that he cannot undertake the idea of going, you know, collecting from door to door or whatever the situation may be, because many, many people just are offended or they're just not very happy when you knock on the door and you ask for a handout. And anyway, it means that he's going to have to suffer a lot of bizarreness, a lot of shame. Many, many people, even if they give you already that dollar, whatever they give you, they don't do it with dignity. So they make you feel like, you know. So he says, it's just not me, he said. So I'm just not ready to bear all that particular shame, you know, in going to collect money on behalf of the yeshiva. So Bachon said to him, which is something very phenomenal. And Bachon said like this. You know, Yecheskel HaNovi, what was his father? Shayo, we know Shayo ben Omoitz, right? His father was Omoitz. Yecheskel ben Buzi. Why was he called ben Buzi? So Bachon quoted the Gemara, he was called ben Buzi, shenizbazal divrei Torah, because he's ready to bear shame for the sake of Torah. Yecheskel ben Buzi, he was considered to be such a madrega that he was ready to bear shame for the sake of Torah, that he was identified as that. Yecheskel ben Buzi shenizbazal divrei Torah. And Bachon went on to say further. So if that, shoot, that's a fact. So, but why label him? Why give him a name? A person who suffers bizyonis? Rabbi Chanan said the following. The truth is, that in the same way that the Gemara tells us, that a person's parnosa, a person's livelihood, is ordained by Rosh Hashanah. Is ordained by Rosh Hashanah what the person should, what Hamsi should profit, and what he should be earning for the year. The same is said, Rabbi Chanan, there's the amount of bizyonis, indignity that you're going to suffer during the year, is also something that's ordained from Rosh Hashanah. B'chana says that you can't run away from it. In other words, if there was a situation that might have caused you shame over here, and you run over there, if it's bashared for you, you're going to get it someplace else. However, says Rabbi Chanan, you might as well get it on the Cheshem of Torah. It deducts it. In other words, this person said, I don't want to go collecting for the yeshiva because I might be embarrassed. B'chana said, if you're supposed to be embarrassed, it's going to happen anyway. Whether you're going to do this or do that. At least, let it go on the Cheshem of Torah. You get a great reward. Get rid of it. You suffered on the Cheshem of Torah. If you suffer shame for some other reason, you just suffered it. But it doesn't go on the Cheshem of getting schar. So Shinis Bazal Divrei Torah means he understood that what? That it's kedai to bear shame for the sake of Torah. And that shame is not for nothing. Because that shame, it would have come one way or another. So you have to have the seichel to realize that at least what it should happen should be for the Cheshem of Torah. But here comes now, the Yochai Tzedekim tells us. They've been talking about shame. Yeah, be ready to bear shame. Be ready to take the embarrassment. That's your embarrassment. But never, ever should you ever put somebody else to shame, said the Yochai Tzedekim. We're talking about the midah of busha. We're talking about the idea, the person to be able to be a bearer of shame and embarrassment. You bear your own embarrassment. You bear your own shame. But never should you inflict shame to others. And he goes on with the following words. You have to be extra careful, very careful. Be very careful, he says, not to embarrass any person. When he says any person, what it means any person? We're not talking about, certainly, you should not embarrass, you know, a Talmud Chacham. You should not embarrass somebody, right, who's an Odom Choshev. This Pasha is somebody, man of importance. We're talking about any person, no matter how you look at him, as he's not worthy, this person's not worthy of honor. In your eyes, you look down on him. You have no right to embarrass any living person. You should not embarrass him. That's why he says, Shum Odom. Doesn't make a difference. You don't go measuring him whether he deserves this or deserves that. You should not embarrass anyone. Ki Yom Rechachomim, our Chachomim have said, very well known Mamar Chazal have said, Hamal bin Esfaveroi Berabim, one who embarrasses or shames his friend in public, Ein loy chelik liyoylam habo. But of course, you know, the Chatzadikim, when he's quoting Hamal bin Pnei Chaver Berabim, which means the severity of shaming someone in public does not mean that in private you're allowed to embarrass him. The reason he's quoting this Gemara is just to show you how serious shame is. That if you do it in public, you know, you have a chelik liyoylam habo. But that means how serious shame is, the pain of shame, and certainly you can understand you shouldn't do it in private either. But the maimer of losing oylam abo, that's mentioned by doing it in public, and that's a higher degree of causing embarrassment. And he goes on to say that ovok haratzicha hi halbonis ponim. You know what he's saying? He says, the dust of murder, in other words, what's murder in subtle form? Or his name says, murder in subtle form is embarrassing someone. In a certain sense, you're murdering him. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing sensitivity that you have to have. He says, murder in subtle form, not actual murder, but in subtle form, it's avaka ratzicha, is the dust, as it were, of murder, that's halbona sponim, causing some shame. And he points out, because even the physical attributes somehow work that way. Because what is murder? Murder is always referred to, in Loshon Kodesh, in Hebrew, shfichas domim. Yeah, what does shvichas domim mean? Right? Pouring somebody's blood, spilling somebody's blood. When you embarrass someone, the red disappears and white comes. So the blood, right? The blood that gushed to the face of the red face, as we mentioned before, goes and leaves in its place the white. So in a certain sense, you spill that person's blood. So therefore says the Yochai Tzadikim that avak haretzichi albon esponim, ki ozel se sumke, because the red left, you caused the red to leave, ve'ose chivre, and in its place came the white, ve'doim l'retziche, and that is quite similar to murdering. Person, when you kill him, right, he no longer has the nice rosy cheeks, right, you don't see the blood flowing through his body, and he's there lying there, white and pale and green and yellow. And also that similar type of situation happens when you embarrass someone, when you shame someone. Interesting to point out that these exact words that the Orchis Tzadikim is saying is also mentioned by Rabbeinu Yonah. Remember we studied a while back the Sefer Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva. And Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, just to quote you just one line, he says exactly, Ova Karetzicha, the dust of murder. Murder in subtle form, he says, is halbonas ponim, shaming someone. Kiponav yechavru, he says, because his face turns white, he says, and the redness leaves, the redness of the face leaves, the redness of the complexion leaves, that's a certain sense of spilling someone's blood, he says. And it's doimel aritziche, and it can be compared, in a certain sense, to murder. But then he says something further. He says, he quotes a chazal, Mesechta Bava Metzia, Kitzar, he says, ha'albona mar mimodas. He says, sometimes the tzar, the pain of shame, can be worse than death. Can be worse than death. The tzar, the pain of shame, embarrassment, sometimes can even be worse than death. So there's quite a bit of a similarity in terms of understanding how sensitive one has to be causing shame to someone else. And he goes on further. And that's really what he brings over here. B'chein omur chachom emoid. That's the Gemara above Metzi, by the way. Daf Nun Ches. So the Chinomer Chachomim also said that Tzar HaHalbonim Mar Mimodis, that the pain of humiliation can be more bitter, he says, than even than death. Okay, therefore, remember what the Gemara says: Yipoy Lodom Es Atzmoy L'Tech Kipshin Oish. A person should rather fling himself into a fiery furnace, Val Yalbin Penei Chaver Rebrabim. We know that Gemara. Rather than embarrassing someone publicly, where does the Gemara learn it out? From Tomor. The case of Tamar and Yehuda, right? That becomes a classical case. From the case of Afal Pisha Hitziuha Lihisoref, we know that she was already taken out, right? To be burned at the stake. Nevertheless, she herself did not want to embarrass Yehuda to reveal to the public that it was him, that it was responsible for her being with child. L'rotza Salahalbin Tanei Yehuda. L'maisa is that Yehuda had the strength and the courage to come to admit it, and her life was saved. But she did not know. She was not sure what Yehuda would do. But rather than embarrass him, she was ready to suffer that. That's the idea. That's from there the Chazal come on to say that Noyach Lo Eliyodom. Loshon Gemara is Noyach Lo Eliyodom. That it is easier for a person. Interesting Loshon. Noyach Lo Eliyodom. Sheyapel Atzmo L'Techkif Shen Oish, to allow himself to be thrown into a fiery furnace, he says, rather than being Malnu Pnei Chavei Bradna, Rosh Hadron used to say, Rosh Hashon used to say in the name of his Rabbeim, used to say, what's the Loshon Noyach Lo Eliyodom? He says, it means like this, he says. It's not even saying a psak halocha, it's saying what it should be easier. Noyach lo liyodom. It doesn't say tzorech odom. It doesn't say halocha, that a person should throw himself into the fire rather than embarrassing someone. Or else he should say tzorech lo. This has to do. Mechuyev odom doesn't say that. It says noyach lo liyodom. It is easier for him. What does it mean? So Shalom said, his Rabbeim used to say, I want you to imagine the following thing. You have in front of you a fiery furnace. And you have a human being standing next to the fiery furnace. And someone comes over to you with a gun and says to you, listen, I give you two choices. You can either jump into the fiery furnace, right, and die, or embarrass this person. So Chazal say, it should be easier for you to jump into the fiery furnace, he says, than embarrass the person. Noyach lo eliyodom. That's the attitude that we have to develop within ourselves to understand what it means, the sensitivity of the pain of a person being embarrassed, that if you understand that, it should be easier for you. Halacha doesn't have to tell you, it should be easier for you. You yourself should come to that realization to understand that is easier. That's the Loshon Noyach Lo Eliyodom. If you're given the two choices, this should be easier. You should find it easier within yourself to allow yourself to be flung into a fiery furnace rather than to embarrass someone. That's how far it goes. The Loshon of the Gemara, Noyach Lo Eliyodom. It's easier for a person. You should develop that type of idea to understanding how deep-rooted, how painful can be the pain of shame. And it goes on further. And even if it's a situation where you have to give musr to someone, you have to reprove someone. The Torah said you have to be careful how you do it. When you criticize someone. And we're talking, by the way, we're talking about constructive criticism. We're only talking about constructive criticism. But you have to know how to do it. You have to make sure that the constructive criticism does not turn into destruction. So here you want to give him criticism because you want to, right? You want to fix something, you want to repair something, and at the end you're causing more damage, more harm, right, than benefit. And he points out to say like this. As a matter of fact, the Torah tells us after, what follows? What's the words after that? There's many interpretations. What does it mean, these words, Lesis Olav Chet? So the Gemara interprets that it means, Lesis Olav Chet, when you're giving somebody Musa, Hacheach Techiach HaSamisecha, Lesis Olav Chet, make sure that you do not bear sin because of it. In other words, don't become a balavere, don't become a sinner yourself in the way you're giving somebody Musa. Because it's very possible that giving somebody Musa, you'll do it in such a way that you yourself are now going to become a balchoyte. You yourself are sinning, because the way that you are doing it is in such an insensitive way that you yourself have now become a sinner. So you're trying to benefit the other person. You're trying to give him Musa, and as a result of giving him Musa, you yourself were choyte. So the Torah says, be careful, I see so all of chayt. Do not because of him become a bearer of a sin, because of the way that you did it. You mishandled it. As it goes on to explain. Kesai. How do you should you do it? If you have to give Musa to someone, you have to reprove someone. You start, you do it in private, first of all. Does everybody have to hear if you have something to say? If you have something to say to someone, and you want to criticize them constructively, you want to give him some Musa, do it in private. Ubenachas. Benachas means gently. Gently. But imagine if you go over to someone, Barabim, in public, with Baishenu, and you're going to embarrass him. Or the kabbal all of chait, and the fact that you're going to receive a sin, you're going to have a sin. That's even if you did it with the kavon of mitzvah. Yeah, you want to be mekame mitzvah chet techich. Imagine how great the sin will be if you cause embarrassment. It's not even b'makim techecha. It's not even giving musar. You outright stam blatantly. You went and you embarrass someone. Mukosh can certainly imagine how great the aver will be on your part if you embarrass someone. Hamavayish chaver shloim b'makim techecha. Reb Shalom Shadron, one of his shmusim, he pointed out regarding the situation. He says, you have these people, you know, so like overly frum, and being that they're so overly frum, so they're not really aware of how many toes they may step on, you know, because they want to do their frum kite. You know, so Salanter used to always say, you know, a person, you know, when you put on your talus, so you put it on your talus, you know, and when you put on your talus, the tzitzit are flying, you're swiping somebody's face all around there, you know, and you're not concerned. Be careful, see, somebody's standing at the right, somebody's left side. So make sure, at the time when you're putting on your talus, right, that you how many people are you going to hurt at the same time? Or so Salanter would always say, is, you know, always again being sensitive according to the feelings of a person regarding baking the matzahs on Pesach. Certain Pesach is coming up very soon, and they asked them, you know, many, many different rabbonim have different chumras, things to be extra, extra careful when it comes to Pesach, how to bake the matzahs to make sure that it's done so perfectly, or close to perfection as much as possible. And therefore, you know, many, many people have different chumras in terms of how to do it. The answer, Rabbi Shaul Salanter, he says, what type of chumras should we employ? He said, very careful, he said, that the women, he says, who roll the dough and so on, that you speak to them nicely and you don't overwork them, you don't overburden them, make sure that they have a break and so on and so forth. He was concerned. That's my chumras, he says, in baking matzah. This is my chumras in baking matzah. And so on. So Shaul says, they have this person, this frum ayid. You know, one of the brachas that you don't always have a... If you look in brachas, there's certain brachas that are a rarity. I think I once told the Yoilim that, which was, it's almost coming up to 7 years, that I was invited to speak in Australia at the Sima Shas of the Daf Yomi, which is now coming up again soon, in a year from now about. So there was two Siyum, and one was in Sydney, and one was in Melbourne. And the first one, so they coordinated is that they shouldn't do it on the same day. So I would be able to be in Sydney one, then fly over to Melbourne. They would have it 2 days later or so. Stay there over Shabbos. And at the airport, there's a very choshev person who came to pick me up. His name was Dr. Monk, mentioning his name because he's one of the driving forces. Melbourne is not a large Jewish community. It used to be larger, much larger. But now it's not. And but yet he's a person, as they say, he's a one-man person who really is involved in every aspect of the Jewish community there. Very, very choshev person, Sofa Ben Toire, and so on. Picked me up, and one thing he says, he's going to be spending 2 days in Sydney, you know, coming all the way. Every day that he come to Australia, so maybe he can take you around to sightseeing. He says, would you like me to take you to the zoo? Deep down, I would like to go to the zoo, but I'm coming from New York, come to Australia, you can take me to the zoo. So you don't want to admit it. He says, you know, I'll tell you, Rav Kreisweer, the chief rabbi of Antwerp, he went to the zoo too. That is good for him, it's good for me too. So I also go to the zoo. Yeah. But the reason he says he wanted to see a kangaroo to make a bracha, baruch mishana habriyas. When you see an unusual animal that you don't see make a bracha, because bracha creates all different types of creations, creatures. It's a bracha. And that's an opportunity you don't always have to make. Baruch mishana habriyas. So Rav Shulam used this, not my moshel, but he used the mice. He says, so the seed comes in and he comes into shul, and all of a sudden he sees a rare appearance of someone who doesn't really belong to the community. The person was probably passing through. He sees a small, very short person, a midget. A midget. So he thought to himself, here at the psur, I'm going to make a bracha on this person, Baruch Mishan Abrias. So he said to him, now, if you want to do a bracha, you know, you want to do it in the way that you're supposed to do it. So he goes over to the guy, he picks him up, he shakes him like a lula, like Baruch Mishan Abrias. So you can imagine the embarrassment of this person. So here you wanted to make a bracha. At the same time, you really embarrass this person using him as an object for your bracha, because you want to be Mekayim a mitzvah. Inside. First of all, you don't make a bracha like that on a human being, like this type of situation. But in any case, so that's what the Och Tzadikim is telling us, to be very careful when it comes in the area of a mitzvah, to be careful how you do it, that you have to do it benachas, not to turn it into an aveira, even when you're giving somebody musar. And he goes on to say, "V'churban Yerushalayim, of course, this galgal yidei boishes the Bar Kamsa." We all know the story of Bar Kamsa. That brought down the destruction of Yerushalayim. Because Bar Kamsa was shamed, was embarrassed, right? He thought that he was invited to the Suda, and in fact he was not invited, and came up the host, right, threw him out and publicly shamed him, embarrassed him, and the rabbis were sitting there and did not say anything, so he was very, very upset, and he said that being, they said that Rabbonim were there, Medishosku Rabbonim, right, it means that Nichalu, Shemamim the Nichalu, that they were, so then he went, of course, and he informed against the Jewish people to the emperor, and one thing led to the other. But the Gemara tells us that Shaisiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Bar Kamsa. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu even helped him, which means to say is he went and informed, but it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to happen, that this should bring about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it started out because of an opinion of an embarrassment of a person. L'chein, therefore, Tzorech Odom L'zor Me'oid. Person has to be very careful. Make sure to conduct your ways and behave in a way that will not cause embarrassment to anyone. And then he goes further, he says, even when it comes to Divrei Torah, im yisov yitrim chaveroi. Notice in the course of a discussion, vishoma shechaveroi toad. You see that, what? You see that your study partner, your chavrus, is making a mistake. Be careful how you say it. Now, not everybody goes along with this all the way we're saying it. He says, lo yoyma loy to iso. In other words, you saw him make a mistake, but be careful. Don't go out and say, you made a mistake. Or to say to him, ain chomevin, you don't understand. Or ki yoyseboy. He's very careful. He says, shlo yisbayish. They shouldn't be embarrassed. Ach, you do it in a way, ach yasa atzmoy kilu loy hevin shetorah. You know, give the impression that you're not aware of it. You know, but what I believe what he means to say is, doesn't mean that you have to let a mistake go. He's going to learn false pshat here. What he means to say is, don't do it in a way that you're going to point out that the person made a mistake, but rather say to him, I suggest that maybe it'd be another way of understanding this. And go out to develop your theory, go out to develop your idea, that the person himself will recognize that your pshat might be a better pshat. Rather than pointing a finger at him, right? And stepping on him. And putting him to shame. You don't understand. You made a mistake. But you can achieve the same results, right, without directly pointing a finger at the person. The chain also another thing. There's certain people that society gave them a nickname. And the person has no choice because this is what it is. But he really hoped that people would drop it. So you don't go along with it, says the Yochid Tzadikim. Don't call people, right? We're not talking about innocent nicknames. No, we're talking about nicknames which really are, could be embarrassing nicknames. V'chein lo yechan Hashem l'chaveroi. Do not call your friend a nickname. He says, even if he's not around, not to hear it. So he's not here, he doesn't hear it. Gam shlo bifonot. But Yoyma, but let's say, if you want to describe a particular person to someone else, right? Don't use the so-called nickname. Don't use his nickname. So how are you going to explain who you mean? You know what you say? Say either Pliny Mokin Pliny, so-and-so who resides in that area, or say Benoishal Pliny, or so-and-so the son of so-and-so, or Yoyma Simonim, or give other right identity, show other identity by signs, Achehei Nikar Zulas HaKinu, besides, except of using the Kinu. Find other ways to identify the person that you want to identify, not to resort to having to use that nickname, which is an embarrassing nickname. There's another thing. Many comes time to shidduchim. People want to show, you know, come to shidduchim, so they say like this. You know that shidduch, that big gevir over there? He wanted me to marry his daughter. I didn't want her. He said, don't go ahead, don't say such a thing. Even if it's true. Even if it's true. But don't go about saying it. Because what you're doing is taking honors for yourself at somebody else's expense of putting somebody else down. So he says, a person should not say either in public, or he says in private, Pliny rotsa litnuli bitoy. So and so wanted to give me his daughter, Vanilroi rotsi. It was me who didn't want her. They said it's a joke. He said Rabbi Zal Acharif was a big Charif. Rabbi Zal Acharif, a big goyan he was. He had problems. He was from Slonim. There are problems in the Kehila. So then he decided that he might leave and so on and so forth. But he said, you know what, maybe from now on I should call myself, instead of the Rav of Slonim, he said, maybe I should call myself the Rav of Varsha. He said, how you can call yourself the Rav of Varsha? Are you the Rav of Varsha? He says, no, but let me explain to you. I'm here in Slonim. You don't want me, I don't want you. Varsha, at least I want Varsha. They don't want me yet. I have more shakas than Varsha, says the Slonim. So maybe I should rather be called the Rav of Varsha, says, than the Rav of Slonim. So here else they said, don't say you didn't want. You didn't want. They wanted you. Because by doing so, you're honoring yourself and you're really shaming somebody else. And as a result, therefore, a person should be medagdik, he says, should take heed in all matters. Be careful that no one should be caused to bear shame as a result of what you have said or maybe what you have done. And finally here he says, a person should be of those who allow themselves to be shamed, but they do not shame others. They may hear their shame or their disgrace, but they don't answer back. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of strength. Those people are able, right, to be in that madrega. They themselves might be shamed, but they don't answer back. The Pasuk says that the schar in the next world will be v'oyhavov, those who love Hashem, kitzeis Hashem ishbuk v'rosoi, they will come out as powerful as the sun in full strength. The sun comes out in full strength with all of its glory, the brightness of the sun. This person will shine, as it were, in the next world as the sun in its fullest power. He says, and why the marshal like the sun? If someone allows himself to bear shame without answering back, why the marshal of the schar regarding the sun? So he says it's midah keneged midah. It's measure for measure. Why? Yan asher shomer cheposo, because a person who hears his shame and bears that shame, it means v'nehepchu ponav le'yirokin, it causes his face to turn pale. So as a result, the reward will be that paleness, that pale face that you allowed yourself, right, to bear, will turn into the brightest and the glorious and the most radiant shine that you can imagine. Yavhikemakodibarhu will give that face a glorious, a luster, and tremendous shine, even more than the light of the sun. Kenyan Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Yeshayo, Pasuk says, "Chvayda Hashem olayich zorach." The glory of Hashem, he says, has shone upon you. So, Rabbi Yisrael, let's go take a look at the sheet, Rabbi Yisrael, for the remaining moments. Let's take a look at a number of ideas. One idea is actually we had on the sheet last week we didn't get to, and that is something, if you might remember, that the Yorcha Sadiqa mentioned, that one of the nekudis, one of the ideas, if a person really wants to figure out ways that can be serve as a barrier, as a mechitza, from falling, right, and to be able to overpower his lowly desires, a person has to recognize where he comes from. A person has to recognize his milas. A person has to recognize the greatness of man. A person has to recognize what it means to be the bearer of the neshama. He has to recognize his roots, that he is a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. He has to recognize himself as being a ben melech. Every Jew is like a prince. And therefore, certainly you don't want to disgrace the uniform. If a person recognizes his roots, from how great roots he comes from, if he really understands that and believes that, he'll be embarrassed to sin, because he recognizes, he says, what am I doing? I'm taking my royalty and I'm disgracing it. And that really, this idea that the Orchas Tzaddikim said is found here also in Rabbeinu Yoyne. Rabbeinu Yoyne, this is a sefer, maybe one day we'll do it as well. There's a sefer called, it's called Sefer Ho'avoido, which is from Rabbeinu Yoyne. As a matter of fact, somebody, a young man, interesting, a doctor in Detroit, had done a translation, English translation, to this sefer Rabbeinu Yoyne. I gave him a scum, actually. He also did a translation on the Geras Ramban. He also gave us comment that Sefer, also translated in English. Although there was another one done by Art Scroll, but he did his own work on the Geras Ramban. But he also did, which this was the first translation in English that he did, this particular doctor, very Choshev Neman, and Rabbeinu Yoyne. Anyway, Rabbeinu Yoyne writes here in the beginning of Shaar HaAvodah, he writes as follows. The title is Yakir Maloso Yumalas Avoysa. The person has to recognize his Milas, right? He has recognized his milas, his tremendous milas, his strengths, Umailas Avoisov, and also understand, of course, the greatness of his ancestors. By Dezeh Yevosh Ma'atzmoy, this will cause him himself to just be embarrassed from his own dignity. It will cause himself to be embarrassed to do the wrong thing. And the Yevosh Ma'avoisov, he'll also be embarrassed. How can I break the chain, the illustrious chain, you know, for my forebears? Doesn't have to be his father or his mother. Maybe his father, maybe his grandfather were not. But if he goes far back enough, he will realize that, of course, and certainly if you go back to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, where every Jew is descended from, you recognize he's part of that chain. So Rabbeinu Yonah, the following words. HaPesach HaRishon, he says, the first, he says, opening. The first door, he says. Sheyeda ho'ish ho'oved. A person wants to be an oved Hashem, to serve Hashem. Sheyeda, he says, erech atzmoy. A person has to know his own value. Remember, he pointed out, the Alter from Kelm used to say, Rabbi Yeruchim used to say this. He says, it's a terrible thing, right? For a person, he says, who does not know his faults. It's a terrible thing. But it's even worse, he does not know his milas. As bad as it is, right, not to know your faults, it's even worse not to know, he says, how great you are. A person has a lot of strengths also. A lot of strengths. So a person has to know and to realize erech atzmoy. You have to know your true, that you have a lot. Every person, every yid certainly has a lot of value. The Yakir Mal also should recognize the milas. So recognize how great Umailas Avoisov and the Mailas of his Avois. Ugdulosom, the greatness, Vachashuvosom, their importance. Vichibosom, how beloved they are, Eitzel HaBoyri Yisbarach, how beloved they are by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yishtadil, he says, it's important to put an effort. Vichazek Tomei Lahamid Atzmei B'malahi. And it's important to work on that, to understand, and to place yourself on that station, yes, on that level. Ulisnaig Botomit. And to conduct yourself with that always. Look what he says. You have to work it on that. Every day work on it more and more to understand the chashivas that a person has. The chashivas that you have as a yid. Every day, Yosef Oymes, he should add strength and power. Liknois, to acquire mylois umidos. Ashiskarav behem leboiroi, which will bring you closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Vidabekelov. So on a daily basis, a person has to work to acquire, right, more and more ability to come closer to Hashem. And he says, and even though it might be difficult in the beginning, however, at the end you'll see you're going to prosper. And even though the beginning it might be mitzor, it might be with pain, might be with great difficulty, you're going to have a lot of profit at the end. The yase, he says, and what you have to do, you have to make sure that your ancestors will not be embarrassed by how you're conducting yourself. To do as much as you can. We're only asking you to do what you can. We're not asking the impossible. We're asking at least to do that which you can do. And you know what you're going to gain as a result of that? If a person works in understanding the value that he has, if he understands what it means to taint his neshama, if he understands what it means, how he's reducing himself from the true great heights that he has, because next time, if he understands, if he truly has this built into his mind, he understands the dignity of his neshama, the dignity of his roots, so next time when he is confronted by a challenge, by a desire, right, or lasses dovershin hogun, and he will want to do something inappropriate, yevish biatzmoy, he will just be embarrassed for himself. Even though nobody's looking, he'll be pushed and embarrassed himself, say, how can I myself lower myself to do such a thing? The Yevish Mavoisov, he'll be embarrassed from his ancestors. The Yosh Vilanapshoi. And he will say to himself, the Yoimar, Odom Godl Vachoshiv Kemoini Hayoim. Is such an Odom Godl Vachoshiv like I am. She Yevish be Kama Milus Toivus Romus Vinisois. I have so many good Milus. He says, "Shani ben Gedolim." In addition, I'm a ben Gedolim. I'm a descendant of great people. Ben Malchi Kedem, son of royalty. Eche ese, he says, "Haro hagdoila zois pechatosi lelikim laavoyse kol ayomim." So points out Rabbeinu Yonah. So this comes out. So this looks like gaiva, right? So you see, that's called gaiva de kedusha. That's called gaiva. We said every midah, every trait, right, has its place. If you use it the wrong time, it's an avera. If you use it in the right time, it's a mitzvah. As he said, anova, to be anova is a tremendous smiler. But if you use anova in the wrong time, it's an aveira. It's called anova psula. So sometimes, in other words, so that's the koich of yid. The koich of yid is to use every trait, every midah. So a person has to have that kind of a guy with himself. By the way, it's true, you understand the neshama that he has. But when we say, by the way, even though when he thinks about his greatness, he does not use that, right, in a destructive way. He's using that grace in a positive way. He does not use that in a way to go boasting about it, or therefore to expect them, therefore to look himself, to look down on other human beings, because they have the same milas that you have. They have the same shayrish, they have the same neshama, they have the same, they are also descendants of Rav Yitzchak of Yaakov. But that mila that you have, the fact that you are a descendant of royalty, the fact that you understand what kind of a neshama you possess, you understand the godless Adam, that itself, if you really work on that idea and that notion, if you internalize that, you'll see, says Rabbi Yoina, that you will find it difficult to succumb to your desires, because you can say, how can I do it? If I'm staining my neshama, I'm ruining my godless, I'm destroying and breaking my chain. So that is Nikudah that we see here from Rabbi Yoina, and that was something that was also, again, echoed by the Orchis Tzaddikim. We had it a while back, and that's why really we wanted to discuss and show the same thing in Rabbi Yoina. Let's conclude here with the words of the Chidah. Look, number two, very interesting thing. The Chidah, you might remember, again, the Chidah lived at the second half of the 1700s, and just over the beginning of the 1800s, where he was Nifter. But most of his life was in the 1700s. And the Chidah writes, Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulai, right, Mishanenu Mesaper Uvdezu, repeated many, many times this following episode. And he writes as follows. The Chidah writes in one of his forum, he writes, the Sefer Dvash Lefi, as a matter of fact. He writes, Shomatim Reb Chaim Ben Atar. That was the Or Chaim HaKodesh. I heard regarding, he says, the Reb Chaim Ben Atar, right? The Or Chaim HaKodesh. Maise Be'osher Takif. There's a Maise regarding a powerful Osher. He was a powerful Osher, and he used his power. He wielded his power. Korv L'malchus, right? He had a lot of influence. He had a lot of influence in the government. An Osher. Shezilzul Be'kovet Talmud Chocham Echot. And this Osher, being an Osher, so he thought he can do whatever he wants. So went ahead, is what? And he embarrassed. And he was mezalzel, a particular Talmud Chochem. Pono Elav HaRachayim. So Rachayim went over, Sheyimchoy LaOsher. Interesting, the Rachayim went over to the Talmud Chochem and said, listen, I want you to be Meichel this Osher. I want you to be Meichel this rich man, the Yasser shall make peace with him. He Shiva Chochem said the Chochem, this Talmud Chochem, was the victim of the embarrassment. He says, you know what? It's not necessary for you to ask me. Because Kva Tekefu Miyad La'acha Maisa Machaltiloi. Gets a tremendous madrege. Because immediately after he embarrassed me, I was already Moichel him. And explained why. It's not because I'm such a great person that I'm able to be Moichel, you know, no matter what you do to me. He had a Cheshem, he had a reason. And this was the reason. The Chidah was on the spoil of this reason, and that's why he's mentioning this Maise. The Nimak, and he explained Pesher Zirizosoi. He explained the reason of his reasons, why he was so quick to be Moichel. And he said as follows. Heyoisi says, Ubezoya Nemar. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Ki Chatoim Shal Yisroel Machbidim Al Kanfei Hashchina. The Shchina, as it were, you know, has wings, as it were. We just use that example. Every time a person sins, it carries weight. It puts weight on the Shechinah. In other words, the Shechinah suffers from the indignities, from the iniquities, from the avarice of the person. So every time that I sin, the Shechinah has tsar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibiyochol, there's tsar, there's pain. In Cain, so he says, every moment that I delay being Moichel the Osher, and I keep holding the tsar that the Osher did to me, inadvertently I am causing the tsar for the Shechinah. All the more. He says, "Kol rega v'rega shloi emchoy la'oven ho'isher halos." So, kol zman that I am not moichel, I don't forgive the avera to this oisher. Harish tzar l'shchina, mahakveden oisefes, from the extra weight that was now added because of me. Lochein, therefore, miharti limcholoi. Therefore, I was very quick to be moichel. Vayidezel limnoya tzar mashchina. So, what the oisher, what the Talmud Chacham was saying, the reason I was moichel is not for my sake. I was moichel for the shchina's sake. Because kol zman I allowed the tsar to affect me, then the Shechinah suffers. And I didn't want the Shechinah to suffer as a result of my pain. So therefore I found it within my heart to be Moichel the person, to alleviate the pain of the Shechinah. Kishmoye Reb Chaim Ben Atar es nimuk hachocham nehenem yoid. When the Reb Chaim heard this explanation, he had a lot of hanor. So the conclusion of this Maisa, the Chidah, who relates this story, Balkach Moisef HaChidah, says the Chidah, Epsher, maybe that's the reason. Shezeu Tams Gulas Malas, that could be the secret of the Mile of Mavir Almedoysev. Remember, many times we quoted, the Gemara says, if a person is able to overlook, right? If a person is able to overlook the hurt that someone does him by not answering back, by not fighting back, what's the reward? Because Mavirin, right? Memenu Kol Peshov, they remove his sins. Now, well, how is the reward midah keneged midah? Amabe, he deserves a schar. The person is Mavra al Medoysav. He's able to overlook. Right? He's able to overlook and to be merkel someone who does it. Who does an avla to him, he deserves a great reward. Why is the reward that we're moichelim is all his averis? What does one got to do with the other? The Chisod says, I can now understand. Because when a person is moichel someone who stepped on his toes, he's now being, what is he doing? By being, we turn the page on the side. Because being that when he's moichel someone, he's therefore alleviating the sound of the shechina. Which means he's giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu pleasure. So midi can I get midi ma'avir and loya kol pishuav. Kodesh Baruch Hu is also moichel his averis. Why? Because if he has averis, the Shechina get a sar. If you did something to remove sar from the Shechina, so the Shechina is going to do something to you to remove further sar Shechina. That you should not be the cause of further sar Shechina. Because if you still have your own averis, then the Shechina itself will continue to have sar. So interesting to say, look at the next paragraph. Ma'anyan is interesting. The Chido repeats this story of the Arachaim Pomim Rabois many times. He said, Bisifroi in the Sefer Maris Ayin, that's one of these forms of the Chido. In that Sefer alone, Humevio Arba Pomim. He brings it four times. And he says, Humitzayim. And he signs off. Heyois ve'inyin ze yokar be'enai. It's important to read. The nekuda is that every time we sin, it's not just we're doing something to ourselves, we're causing tzar to the Shechina. If a person remembers that, that will be an additional factor helping a person a little bit to be misgaber himself, gives him extra strength to try to do the right thing, because he realizes whatever he does is not just for himself, but in fact it causes tremendous pain to the Shechina. So the voice in the next 2 minutes, okay, so let me just conclude. So the Chassidikim was talking about how to be careful how you speak to a person. That Bishum Oifim should never embarrass a person. And be careful how you deal with a person. So the Nekudah Rabbi said, if it works like this, there's a pasuk that deals with that. There's a pasuk that says, Manarach Yoshiv Chema. It's a pasuk in Mishle. Manarach means to say, a gentle reply turns away wrath. That is, someone comes in with a lot of anger to you. Somebody comes in, you know, that attacks you. The way that you answer back very calmly, very gently, it just turns away wrath. Manerach, it says, Yoshev Chema, Mishle, Tezvov, so says the Posik. So this is usually a directive, right? It's an advice, a person is a target of angry words or harsh feelings, so we say, don't fight fire with fire, that's what it means. Don't fight fire with fire. Manerach, you'll see with a nice word, Yoshev Chema, you'll be able to turn away wrath. But there's also, Rabbi said, there's also another meaning that we see for that. What it means, how you choose your words, you know, what the tremendous thing that you can accomplish, what you can do with that. In England, there was a Yid by the name of Rav Osher. And the Yid of Rav Osher had a son, Chaim. And he pointed out to a particular guest who was in England. He pointed out and he says to him, you know something, because this guest was apparently was either speaking to this boy, Chaim. So the father of Rav Osher says, you know, this is my son, Chaim, but I want you to know he's a living miracle. My son Chaim is someone who knows a living miracle. And he goes and he tells the following story. He says that 2 days after the child was born, it was sometime in 1985. So 2 days after the child was born, the doctors told him that the child would have to undergo a serious operation, a life-saving operation. The child was born with a very rare illness. And the doctors simply, they feared for his life. And the operation was scheduled for a Tuesday morning in a particular hospital north of London. So, operation scheduled for Tuesday. So the Rav Osher says, the day before, he made sure to get a brocha from the Rosh Yeshiva of Manchester, Mashgiach of Manchester, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Siegel, well-known Mashgiach. People from all over used to come for him for brochas. So the Monday before the operation, so he calls the Rosh Yeshiva of the Manchester, Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Siegel, he says, for a brocha. The Siegel gave him a very warm brocha. He said the child should turn out to be well, the operation should be well. And for the rest of the day, Rav Osher and his wife, they recited Tehillim to make sure that the operation the next day will be very successful. So Tuesday morning, so Rav Osher, of course, with his wife, they come very early to the hospital. And as the child was being prepped for the operation, and while they were in the waiting room, the surgeon comes in and says he will not be doing the surgery today. He will not be doing the surgery today. Why? Because he said a life-threatening emergency just came up with another patient, and I have to tend to, he says, to that matter first. So Rav Osher cried out and said, what about my child? He also has a life-threatening situation. And the doctor said, maybe so, but the other patient is in greater danger. He's in greater danger, and therefore we have to direct our attention here. And he said, your son will be operated, he says, tomorrow. It'll be the next day. Okay, he says, I can't do it right now. They were quite upset. You can understand, they were beside themselves for worry, because it was a life-threatening operation that the child needed to have. They were very distraught. They realized there's nothing what they can do. So he says, this is the situation. So they go downstairs, and they realize, he finds that there's a group of people, interesting there, in the lobby of the hospital. There's a group of people huddling together. And he sees, he recognizes one person. This is a friend of his. Let's call him Yankel. And he says, Yankel, he says, what are these group of people doing over here in the lobby of the hospital? And while he's asking the question, he realized that in the center of the group, who is there? The Manchester Rosh Yeshiva himself. The Rebbe Zev Siegel, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, is right there. And his Rav Asher couldn't believe it. And he asked Yankel, says, what's the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva doing here? So he says, listen, the truth is, I, Yankel, went to the train station to pick up the Rosh Yeshiva. He just arrived, notice, he arrived from Manchester, and I was supposed to drive him down to Bournemouth. I don't know if you're familiar with Bournemouth. It's a place which is a summer resort that people from London, England, people go there. I myself spent there. My brother-in-law in England has a few flats there, more than one, and many, many years ago. It's like 30 years ago. And it's a place, as a matter of fact, some of the European Aguda conventions are sometimes held in Bournemouth. It's by the seashore there. So this Yankel says, Rashiv arrived, I came to pick him up, and I was supposed to take him, he says, to Bournemouth. But he said, before you take me anywhere, I know there's supposed to be an operation, was supposed to be scheduled, he says. It's Tuesday, supposed to be scheduled. I want you to drive me to the hospital. I want to meet Rav Asher. And sure enough, that's what he's doing here. And he goes over to Rav Asher. And before he goes over to Rav Asher, he stands at the doorway. Before entering, that's the room where he stands at the doorway. Yankel said, before he came to the hospital, because he wanted to meet this Rav Asher, together with all the people, he says, let us say together, Hineni Muchen Mezuman Lekayim Mitzvah Asei Shel Gemilas Chasodim. We are now getting ready and prepared to be Mekayim a Mitzvah. Mamish, simple visit. No, it's not a simple visit. Hineni Muchen Mezuman, like you're doing, like we say, Matzah before you're ready. Hineni Muchen Mezuman, we're getting ready, we're preparing ourselves to the Mitzvah of the Gemilas Chasodim, right? To do an act of kindness. And sure enough, Rav Asher rushes over to him, to Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, and he tells him that it won't be an operation today because they had a different emergency. So Mashgiach goes over and takes his hand and he says to him, don't worry about it. And he said to him the following thing. I'll say it first in Yiddish and then I'll translate it in English. The Malach Refoil is given Heinz Fanumen Morgen Vezana Besseretov. You need the Malach Refoil, he says, you need the angel Malach Refoil. He says, to be there. He's busy today. Tomorrow he'll be there with you. Tomorrow will be a better day. It's better that you waited for tomorrow. This operation today, you would not have had the Malach Refoil. End of the story is, the child turned out to be well. He's a healthy child, playing with other children, doing whatever all children do. And you never know. This is the Man Arach, you know, just the soft words, you know, of an Odom Godel, who knows how to say it. Yoshev Chaimah just takes away the anxiety and takes away the pain that one feels, calming, soothing words. And this is what the Rosh Hashiva was all about.